Robert Robinson. The hymn's called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And that's in, he puts this in the chorus, and I think it's wonderful. He captures a sense of, I love God, but my heart still wanders from God. In fact, it's prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's something I don't like about myself, that I've got a wandering heart, but I think that's true of every Christian believer. Today we're looking at this little window into a heart of a mature believer. It's actually King David, our friend, who we've spent a lot of time with. And in the psalm, he lets us into his own heart, wanders from God, and he has to really reel in his heart so his heart keeps his hope in God, keeps his security in God. King David had a struggling heart. I have a struggling heart. I hope you do as well. To have a struggling heart actually is a sign that you're born again. When God gives us his spirit and we're born again, a war begins until we die. The war of the sinful flesh versus the spirit that's been put in us. It's only in heaven that in our new resurrection bodies will the old sinful self be finally, you know, dead and buried. And so it's a sign, the struggle is a sign of life. It's a sign of life. But the Christian life is a struggle. And if you're complacent, if you're not on the ball with your wandering heart, then the danger is you'll just wander, you'll seek security and safety in things other than our God and Heavenly Father. Yesterday we had about 15 relatives over, for my sister who's moving to New Zealand for work. And whenever we host our relatives, the highlight for me and for my kids is my mum brings her dog, who's Macy. He's a very exuberant boxer. If you know the breed boxer of dogs, they're very bouncy and exuberant. And Charlie, Kate and I took Macy for a walk, and I'm glad they make leashes, as strong as they make leashes, because she's a wanderer. She's a wandering dog, and I'd hate to lose her. And that's basically like our sinful hearts. They're always pulling to things of the world to seek security. If you are complacent, if you close your eyes for a second, Macy's gone. Our hearts are gone. And so the Christian life is reeling your heart back to God. Let's look at how David does it. He starts with this refrain, this statement of faith: my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He reminds his heart where true security is. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. These are truths, friends, that you have to drink from regularly. The truths that fortify the soul. As your heart drifts in the busyness of life and the temptations of worldly security, remind yourself that God is your fortress. God alone is your rock and your salvation. Don't let your wandering heart be drawn to the sinking sands of worldly status or of big bucks, great wealth, or of being well spoken of, or having a good position in society. All those things are wobbly and insecure. God alone is the solid ground. God alone. And so really what David is trying to do is an ongoing discipline of submitting himself to God. If only it was a one-off decision. If only you could just make a commitment once and your heart stayed true to God. But it's not like that. It's more like an arm wrestle. It's a continual battle of the Christian life to find your security in God. And don't think when you look at other people in our church that are they really solid in the Lord? They've got no worry, like they've got no worries. They're so strong in God. I wish I was that strong. Listen to how King David, how weak he feels in verse 3 and 4. He opens up about his enemies. He's got a lot of people trying to get him. And he kind of speaks to them before God. How long will you assault a man Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? So David is saying he's like a wall that's leaning. That's how weak he feels. You know, one more piece of gossip, one more backstab, and he feels like he's this close to crashing. He's kind of saying, you know, why do people pick on me? You know, why are people attacking me? Of course, the godly will always be under attack in this life. It goes on, verse 4, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse. So they're kind of very, he has people around him that are two-faced, people that are being sucking up to him as king, but behind his back, you know, they're cursing him in their hearts, they're cursing him. So if King David, if we take him as a benchmark, mature man of God, how does it feel? It feels so weak. It feels always under pressure, always having to come back to God. In his inner being, he feels like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. It's very similar to what we find in the Apostle Paul, another great man of God. Apostle Paul, who wrote, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our body." This is the Christian life. It's a paradox of the gospel. We feel weak. We kind of carry the death of Jesus, and somehow we just hang on another day by God's grace, by God's resurrection power. We just hang on. And what I love about what David does in this psalm is he probably had enough material to write, you know, 10 pages about his enemies. But he gives them one paragraph and then he stops and he comes back to God. And I think that's a very helpful model, you know, not to go over and over again your challenges, your sufferings, the wrongs that have been done to you, not to replay them in your head endlessly, but to give them a minute or two for God and then to come back to God, which he does in verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 sounds a lot like verse 1, but there's a very big difference. He says in verse 5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him." It's similar to verse 1, but verse 1 was more like a statement of faith. My soul finds rest in God alone. It's kind of a statement of theory. But in verse 5, he's preaching to himself. He's commanding his own heart. He's reeling in the heart and saying, okay, God, here are my enemies. They're a mess. Now I come back to you. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. He commands his own soul to look to God. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock and my refuge. So it's really helpful opening to this psalm by paragraph. You got a paragraph about God, a paragraph about his enemies and his problems and how weak he feels and his suffering, and then another paragraph about God. So God, problems, God. How are your thought patterns? If like me, you may be just tempted to be, your mind's ticking over problems, problems, problems. Or maybe problems, problems, a bit of God, back to problems. But God, problems, God. What a great model. What a great model. Really, David reels in the heart. He's saying, I may feel like a leaning wall, but God is my rock. I may feel like a tottering fence shaking, but God is my fortress. I will never be shaken in God alone. Notice how David is absolutely about the solution is God, but God is not merely a fixer-upper of David's felt needs. God doesn't just give salvation. God is his salvation. God doesn't just give security. God is security. Do you see the difference? It's not just, you know, God giving you what you want to feel secure, but finding in God, in your relationship with God, in your arm wrestle of your heart, to reel your heart back to God, finding security and refuge. So friends, here's the picture of a mature Christian life. You feel weak, your heart wanders. Every moment you reel it in, reel it back to God. Into verse 8, David turns to you, the reader, and God through David addresses us with this command. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So David urges you to take up this battle of the continual reeling in of the heart, to pour out your issues to God and to draw on the doctrines of God, of his power, of his rockness, if you like, to fixate on him. And then there's this little warning, which I'm really trying to get to today on this theme. David reflects that he could take security in wealth, and he could take security in having a high position in society. And so there's this warning in verse 9 and 10, which I think are very pertinent to us. Because when you feel weak, you could think, if only I had a better position in society, then people would treat me better. Or if I only had more money, then I could sleep better. But David says, don't go down that path. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. So don't think that, you know, just finding the right job or the right career is going to fix your sense of weakness. It's only going to make it worse, actually, because, you know, those things are vanity. They're a breath. They're not reliable. They're not a rock like God is. They're sinking sand. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. You know, if you start seeking security in stuff, it's very easy to rationalize cutting corners and basically theft. And then this general statement, which is a great line, I want you to take this one home, verse 10b, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. What you set your heart on is what occupies your mind. It's what you go to soothe your stress. David says, learn from my experience as king. Do not soothe your anxiety through the accumulation of riches. Do not set your heart on them. It's a command from the Lord. Our hearts are prone to wander, so make sure you intentionally keep a kind of a limit on how much you count your wealth or check your house value or your super or dream about, you know, how much money you're going to earn one day. Set your heart on God, says David, not on riches. So what's the line? If your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. By the way, notice that he doesn't say, I wish he had said, if your riches increase, give them to your local church. Wouldn't that be great? Doesn't say get rid of them. I can only preach what it says. I wish it said, if your riches increase and your parish is behind budget and collections, you know what to do. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say get rid of it. It just says if they increase, just don't set your heart on them. That's the word from God to us today. We'll come back to that topic a little bit more. And then the psalm ends with these two dynamite doctrines. If you're looking for stuff to meditate on, here's what God is saying. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O God, are loving. That's so good. God is strong, sovereign, powerful. God is loving, kind, caring, our Heavenly Father. And that you are, and surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. So here's great medicine. If you feel weak, remember, God is strong, God is loving. Meditate on that. If you feel at sea, lost, sinking, overwhelmed with issues, I know that's a lot of us, God is strong, God is loving. When you feel attacked, lied to, like King David was, God is strong, God is loving. David hopes that God will reward each person for their acts of faith, for what they have done. David's riches will not protect him. David's riches will not deliver him. But one day his strong and loving God will reward him for his faithfulness in times of weakness. It's a great hope. You know, we have many problems in our lives. We are backstabbed, we're threatened, we're failing. But our hope is that our loving, strong God, through his Spirit, will produce in us works of faith, and God will crown those gifts. He will reward those gifts on the final day, our Spirit-filled works. So friends, where's your heart at? Are you wrestling with your own heart, or are you just sort of cruising? Think of that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Don't let your heart betray you and draw you from the God you love. Will you keep wrestling to put your hope in God alone? Will you keep together as a church struggling to focus each other on God, our rock and security? This day, what are you setting your heart on? What are you setting your heart on? Where is your security? I was reading about the affluence of Australia this week. And I'll give you some sources for this. So it's not just my opinion, but these are amazing times we live in. I mean, a lot of people are saying they're about to end, but 10 years, a record number of 10 years of the share market positive returns in everyone's super. 20 years of property prices going up until this year. Last November, the global super bank, you may have heard of them, Credit Suisse, released the 2018 Global Wealth Report. And in summary, friends, they think, and they're the experts, they're the economists, they think Australia is doing very, very well, like super well. It was in all the media, this report. Here are two headlines. The ABC headline was kind of fun. It said, chart of the day, Australia nudges Switzerland off top of global median wealth list. This is very nice for a Swiss bank report to beat the Swiss, you know what I mean? Second week we've talked about the Swiss. The Sydney Morning Herald had this headline about this big report that came out, big study. The wealthy country, Australians are the richest people in the world. That's the headline in the Sydney Morning Herald. Now, you may not agree with me, or you may think, oh, it's only, you know, the boomers or something, or people who have lots of property or something. In fact, the Sydney Morning Herald, the comments section was full of whinging Sydneysiders who said, oh, it's not true, it's not true. But, you know, maybe that's just Sydney people. God's word to us, to Australia, is if your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And they have increased. So, friends, watch where you set your heart, God says to you. The opportunity of wealth is that it's a chance to show that you depend on God alone. You know, money is a unique platform to show that you've really reeled your heart in and to show where your hope is set. If you kind of bridge your hope in wealth and God, God will always be the loser. If you bridge your security in wealth and God, God will always be the loser. But again and again, the psalm says, in God alone is our rest and our rock. Our God will not share his glory with another. Our God is no loser. Our hearts are prone to wander, friends. We'd be fools if we were not wise with our wealth. Do not set your heart on them. Know that being highborn is a lie. So friends, test God in this. Cast yourself on him and let him prove faithful to you. And pray with this great hymn, and I'm going to finish the chorus. prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Let's make that our prayer today. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, here is our hearts, our wandering hearts. Take them and seal them for thy heavenly courts above. Father, may we live for that day when you will reward us for all that you have done, for all that you've done in us and through us. Heavenly Father, we pray that our security and our rock will be in you alone. And I pray that you'll help us to test our own hearts in this and to watch our hearts. And I pray, we thank you, Father, for the different ways, for each person that you have blessed us. And I pray that if our wealth has increased, we will not set our hearts on them. In Jesus' name, amen.